Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Xavier Lavaghetto, OP, pastor, and director of the Catholic community. It is the eighth Sunday in Ordinary Time, and the readings are from Cycle A.
Imagine New York City, late one evening, a sultry evening on a quiet street, side street. And a woman hears a man's voice. "Get me some money, lady. You won't be the first person I killed." And she said, "I considered running, but I'm slow. So I did what I do best when I'm nervous. I just start talking." I said, "I don't have it as bad as you do, sir. But I am sleeping on my floor right now. And all I ever eat are ramen noodles. You know, people from Kentucky call and say, 'Oh my God, New York City.' And I don't have the heart to tell them that I'm just a cliche. The kid who moves up here to change the world with theater. I'm not going to change anything. My theater stinks, really. I miss my mom, and I miss the porch swing and sweet tea. So won't you please not kill me, so I can just go back home where I belong?" He looked at me funny, and then he pulled me into a bear hug. It was the first human contact in months, actually. One story, one anxious, unhappy woman alone in a sea of people. It took a mugging to awaken her to her deepest hunger, human contact. It took a shared experience to open up his stealing heart and be generous with a hug. Their plight is too common. Unhappy, disconnected people. The World Health Organization says Americans are the most anxious people on the planet. Gallup studied 143 countries. The 10 happiest countries are all Latin American. Go figure. Maybe we should immigrate and learn to connect. Our parents told us that no matter what we decided to do, all they wanted us is to be happy. Is that right? Isn't that what your mom and dad told you? You'd think that would be a freeing kind of possibility, to be able to be told you can do anything you want, just be happy. Cal Berkeley researchers tell us, however, that paradoxically, the more people valued and were encouraged to value happiness as a separate life goal, the less happy they were. Funny, pursuing happiness makes us miserable. Too many feed themselves on the daily bread of coffee and stress. I do. Do you? So I was wondering how I was going to persuade you all that Jesus is right when he said, "Don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or your body, what you will wear." Yeah, right. Try telling that to a midterm crazed student, a graduate looking for a job or an internship, or an overworked parent, or now a frightened parent. We all worry, and we have real reason too. But Jesus is warning us against, well, in Greek, merimnao, that anxious, obsessive worrying that captures the heart and clouds the mind and keeps us up at night. I admit it. I'm addicted. And I don't want to give it up, certainly not to give it up in college, because worrying about grades, ranking, and deadlines got me off the stick and got me moving. But it also robbed me of delight in learning and stole moments of friendship. Actually, I'm kind of amazed. I just noticed the other day, one of the things that I missed from my college days was students, girl and boy, walking around holding hands. I really miss that. We don't have time, or we don't make time. Anxiety enslaves, folks. Can any of you, by worrying, add a single moment to your lifespan? Instead, we give no room for God to comfort and energize us. Anxious word me taught me two lies. That relaxation has to be a form of escapism, if not a downright drunken stupor. And happiness is in some manufactured, earned future. Yet we all know that once you've done your best, what more can you do, right? Nothing. Rejoice in it. What does worrying add, except to turn your beard white? So I'm trying to figure out, how am I going to persuade you? And then I realized I was reading today's gospel as an individualistic American. But this is the continuation of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus was talking to a multitude. This is Matthew's gospel. Jesus' message was being given to Matthew's community, a family of faith and friendship. It's all in the plural. He was talking to the whole community and how we don't have to worry if we're together as a community, because God is right in the midst of it. Yes, Jesus has a message for the individual, but it only comes fully alive in forming families of friends and faith, because then you know you have someone else's back and someone has yours. You're not alone. That communal plural says everything. Every piece of research says happiness begins with others. It's always in the present. The better our relationships, the happier we are. And truth be told, the easier we learn and the healthier we become. Now, some excuse themselves, students, saying, I'm not in a relationship now. Have you ever heard that? What are your friends, chopped liver? Friendship grounds happiness and gives strength. As we approach Lent this Wednesday, I want to suggest that you intentionally practice friendship as a spiritual prayer and a spiritual art. It's the only way this country will ever talk to one another again. Have more than acquaintances. The problem remains. Why are people in Paraguay happier than we? Striving for happiness in a communally oriented culture moves people towards each other. Happiness is in the present with others. In a highly mobile, individualistic culture like America, we imagine the happiness is something achieved. This culture pushes us away from each other, pushes us away from really connecting. We imagine happiness as having. Once I get this, once I achieve that, once I get this degree, once I get that position, then I will be happy. And we never took time to enjoy the people with us on the journey. Connection, direct involvement, and personally engagement gives birth to happiness and health. On the intellectual, it gives birth to shared curiosity and a sense of shared wonderment. On the emotional level, it grounds self-respect and confidence. On the faith level, it becomes and erupts into sharing, thankfulness, and praise. Now, this is more than a pep talk for you to simplify your life and major on what's really major. In life's hurly-burly, we easily grow distant from God because we've grown distant from ourselves and from one another. We might be doing church individually on Sunday, but we haven't become church with each other 7 days a week in that moment-to-moment connection and praying for each other. Now I think we can begin to understand the opening lines. No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Well, that's not our world, but it was the first century world when maybe at the death of a father, he might leave his sons one slave. That slave will hate. It really means not to hate, but to prefer one over the other. And that word mammon or wealth has its roots in the Hebrew word to entrust. Put all that together, put it in the grinder, and it leaves us with this question. Who will you entrust yourself to? Who or what captures your heart? For where your heart is, there is your treasure. My St. High School civics teacher put it this way. When you run in a rat race, win or lose, you're still a rat. Or let me use Albert Einstein's eloquent words. The most beautiful thing we can experience is the mysterious. It is the source of all true art and all science. He to whom this emotion is a stranger, who can no longer pause to wonder and step wrapped in awe, is as good as dead. His eyes are closed. Might I beg you this Lent to open your eyes to the wonder in each person and become yourself a gift to that person. Don't be that woman that took a mugging to awaken her to where happiness lies. Reach out and connect. This Lent, be intentional in connecting with others in faith. Unleash the Christ who is always with two or three gathered in His name.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tomaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.